Hey, too far!
The raptors were closer, starting to move apart. And illogically, she thought, isn't this always the way? Some little mistake screws it all up. She still felt giddy, still felt exhilaration, and she somehow couldn't believe these animals were going to get her. She couldn't believe that now her life was going to end like this. It didn't seem possible. She was enveloped in a kind of protective cheerfulness. She just didn't believe it would happen. The raptors snarled. Ellie backed away, moving to the far end of the roof. She took a breath, and then began to sprint toward the edge. As she raced toward the edge, she saw the swimming pool, and she knew it was too far away, but she thought, what the hell? And leapt into space, and fell. And with a stinging shock, she felt herself enveloped in coldness. She was underwater. She had done it. She came to the surface and looked up at the roof and saw the raptors looking down at her, and she knew that if she could do it, the raptors could do it too. She splashed in the water and thought, can raptors swim? But she was sure they could. They could probably swim like crocodiles. The raptors turned away from the edge of the roof, and then she heard Harding calling, Sattler! And she realized he had opened the roof door. The raptors were going toward him. Hurriedly, she climbed out of the pool and ran toward the lodge. Harding had gone up the steps to the roof two at a time, and he had flung open the door without thinking. Sattler! He shouted, and then he stopped. Mist blew among the pyramids on the roof. The raptors were not in sight. Sattler! He was so preoccupied with Sattler that it was a moment before he realized his mistake. He should be able to see the animals, he thought. In the next instant, the clawed forearm smashed around the side of the door, catching him in the chest with a tearing pain, and it took all of his effort to pull himself backward and close the door on the arm, and from downstairs he heard Muldoon shouting, She's here! She's already inside! From the other side of the door, the raptor snarled, and Harding slammed the door again, and the claws pulled back, and he closed the door with a metallic clang, and sank, coughing, to the floor.
Where are we going?
Lex said. They were on the second floor of the visitor center. A glass-walled corridor ran the length of the building.
To the control room, Tim said. Where's that? Down here someplace.
Tim looked at the names stenciled on the doors as he went past them. These seemed to be offices. Park warden, guest services, general manager, controller. They came to a glass partition marked with a sign, Closed Area, Authorized Personnel Only, beyond this point. There was a slot for a security card, but Tim just pushed the door open.
How come it opened?
The power is out, Tim said.
Why are we going to the control room, she asked, to find a radio? We need to call somebody.
Beyond the glass door, the hallway continued. Tim remembered this area. He had seen it earlier during the tour. Lex trotted along at his side. In the distance, he heard the snarling of raptors. The animals seemed to be approaching. Then Tim heard them slamming against the glass downstairs.
They're out there,
Lex whispered.
Don't worry. What are they doing here?
Lex said.
Never mind, though.
Park supervisor, operations, main control. Here, Tim said. He pushed open the door. The main control room was as he had seen it before. In the center of the room was a console with four chairs and four computer monitors. The room was entirely dark, except for the monitors, which all showed a series of colored rectangles.
So where's a radio?
Lex said. But Tim had forgotten all about a radio. He moved forward, staring at the computer screens. The screens were on. That could only mean
the power must be back on.
Ick, Lex said, shifting her body. What?